Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, February the 27th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the third Sunday in Lent, and on the Tuesday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary in this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in a familiar spot. We've probably recorded something about this one, I don't know, at least a half a dozen times, but we're going to do it again. Psalm 19, so let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making this part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 19. The heavens tell God's glory, and His handiwork sky declares. Day to day breathes utterance, and night to night pronounces knowledge. There is no utterance, and there are no words. Their voice is never heard. Through all the earth their voice goes out, to the world's edge, their words. For the sun has set up a tent in them, and he like a groom from his canopy comes, exalts like a warrior running his course. From the ends of the heavens he is going out, in a circuit to their ends, and nothing can hide from his heat. The Lord's teaching is perfect, restoring to life. The Lord's pact is steadfast, it makes the fool wise. The Lord's precepts are upright, delighting the heart. The Lord's commands unblemished, giving light to the eyes. The Lord's fear is pure, outlasting all time. The Lord's judgments are truth, all of them are just. More desired than gold, than abundant fine gold, and sweeter than honey, quintessent of bees. Your servant too takes care with them, in keeping with them great reward. Unwitting sins who can grasp, of unknown actions clear me. From willful men preserve your servant. Let them not rule over me. Then shall I be blameless and clear of great crime. Let my mouth's utterances be pleasing and my heart's stirring before you, Lord, my rock and redeemer. This is the word of God for us. All right, so we've talked about Psalm 19 a couple different times. It's a well-known psalm. It's probably one that you're familiar with. And there's a couple of interesting features to this psalm that it's worth mentioning from time to time. The first one is that this psalm, you can cut it right into. And the first part of it is this general hymn of creation. And there's all these vivid images and things that just kind of honor the created world around us. I love what BioLogos, which is an outfit out there that tries to blend what we know about natural science and what we know about the Christian faith together. We've got great scientists who work for BioLogos, and they call this psalm the Psalm of the Two Books, where you have like the book of nature, creation, and then you have the book of Revelation, which is what the second part of the psalm is. And there's also a sense, and I got this, I think, from the Cultural Background Study Bible, one of the notes. Walton is the scholar that does a lot of the notes behind the Old Testament. And there's significant evidence that this may have been a hymn in a neighboring Mesopotamian community. Okay, so it may not have been uniquely from Israel, but there's different times where the Jewish people were very close and mixed with different groups around them. So they might have been aware of their worship styles and even some of their sacred literature. And there's a sense where this seemed to fit, right? Where someone from Israel, as they're worshiping their God, looking in the face of Yahweh, they said, this actually plays within our community as well. And so for those of you out there in When I Rise Land who, listen, you're drawn to arts and culture. You love watching film. You love listening to all sorts of music and looking at artwork exhibits. And you do so not just because it's fun, but because like it seems to draw you into the sacred. And even though it's not explicitly under the canopy of Christian art or Christian film or Christian music, you still sense the hum of the holy among it. Psalm 19 is your psalm because it gives you license, gives me license to say, okay, there's things that are lying around in our world out there that do bear witness to God. Now, it may not get us all the way there to like salvific revelation, specific revelation, but it certainly adds to our bearing witness to the God who is among us. And so Psalm 19 is certainly a place that we can find that. What we also see in Psalm 19 is this pivot to this special revelation. You see it right in the middle of the Psalm where it talks about how the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and so on and so forth. And how God is eager to inform his people with his words so that we can be shaped as the people of God. This psalm seems to dovetail quite nicely with Exodus 20 from yesterday, because as God gives the Ten Commandments, the ethical law of the people of Israel, this is something that God is always doing. God is always speaking. God is always teaching. And I love there's a section in Isaiah where Isaiah talks about how he has the tongue of the learned, and he rouses himself to be one who is taught. And I think that is a posture of the people of God. Bill Hybels famously said that leaders are readers. And so if you're leading anything, if you've got a group of people that you're leading, you're probably always reading something because you want to stay ahead. You want to gather new knowledge and new information. And I think it's the same as the people of God. For whatever reason, we are a bookish people. We're people who are always facing scripture. We're always facing teaching, listening to our tradition, listening to our teachers and preachers, because we know that there is revelation for us. There's this uncovering of new things that we can begin to grapple with and that we can take and ingest so that we can be shaped in our souls and our minds. And so as the people of God, we allow ourselves to be open to be transformed and changed, right? Some people may be under the figment of the imagination that they just kind of get the faith in Jesus thing right, and then now it's over. Like, I've got nothing else to do. But just like a martial artist who gets the black belt, and they're told when they get there that this is not the top of the mountain, this is just the base of the next mountain to climb. I think it's the same way. Like, the new birth, being converted, is something that opens us up to new experiences. There's a philosopher, Pete Rollins. He said, "You and I don't remember experiencing birth. We know that it happened, obviously, because we're alive, we're walking around, we're obviously born, but we can't recall it. But that experience of birth gives us access to all other experiences." And I love that as a framework for discipleship, too. We are born again, and some of us probably can vividly remember that experience, but it doesn't end there. It actually is just the thin edge to the wedge of everything else that we experience in the Christian life. And so this is why, even as seasoned Christians, we continue to face the scripture. We allow our souls to rise, meet God through the teaching, so that we can be transformed again and again, and we can experience more and more in our life of faith. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the God that we can bump into as we walk through life. And so today, as we wake up to go to school or go to work and another array of activities, we thank you that you're going to draw near to us, that you're there. And so we just pray that you give us the eyes to see you and the heart to discern your nearness so that we can dwell in a relationship with you. And we also thank you for your words, which continue to train and instruct us, that continues to give us right thinking, that accompanies this right behavior and right love for the sake of the world. And so today, as we dwell in community, either work communities or friendship communities, our desire is to be the hands and feet of Christ and to tend to this world as Jesus tended to us in the midst of our brokenness and sin. And so this day we pray that as we allow the law of the Lord to search us and to shape us, we pray that you would speak tenderly to us, that you would give us the learned tongue, and that we might know to have a word in season that will sustain the weary. So God, our desire is to be your people. So we pray that as we start this day with you, you'd shape our minds, shape our hearts and intentions, and allow us to be your people today. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.